Great to have you with us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Larry Mueller here. You know, last week, I believe it was last week, was National 4-H Week. And I missed it last week. We weren't able to schedule our guests because I had a full schedule. But you know what? We've got a couple of people with you today who are going to talk about 4-H. And I'm really looking forward to it because I was in 4-H. I was a member of 4-H and for many a year and really enjoyed working with it. John DeMontmullen is one of our guests today. He is the interim director, co-director for Wisconsin 4-H Youth Development. John D., thanks for joining us. I'm sorry I butchered your name.
No worries, Larry. And thanks so much for the opportunity to talk about one of my favorite topics, the Wisconsin 4-H Youth Development Program. So.
Well, I'm glad to have you. Amber Reberg, our guest as well, she is the Education Program Specialist for Wisconsin 4-H Youth Development. And Amber, thanks for coming by. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you, Larry.
We'll be talking about, a little about the background and history of 4-H. We'll talk about where it's going now, what it's like for the future, and also, of course, we'll be taking your questions and comments, and I hope your experiences as well. What's your experiences? What has it been like for 4-H? Have you been involved in it? Love to hear from you. Give a call at 1-800-642-1234. Email us at ideas@wpr.org or post on our Facebook page. And, you know, let's a little history here to start. When did it start, 4-H start in Wisconsin? John, you want to take that?
Sure. Actually, 4-H started over 100 years ago in Wisconsin. And just looking at the history of 4-H in general throughout the country, a lot of times people associate 4-H and its connection to agriculture. So, Larry, maybe I should touch a little bit on where that all started.
Mm-hmm.
Many, many years ago, the universities were looking at ways to help farmers adopt new farming practices. And so one of the ways that they were experimenting with was having corn clubs, going out and having university staff and professionals working with local communities and teaching young people how to grow corn better. And that is basically where the roots
of 4-H.
That's where it started. And so as time went on over the last 100 years, we have evolved or transformed, and we still have young people in many agricultural projects, but we also offer projects in things like arts and communication, science, technology, engineering, and math, communication, global education. So basically our programs have expanded as our reach has expanded as well.
It's really cool. Amber, you're the Educational Program Specialist for Wisconsin 4-H Development. Tell us about what you do in that role.
Yeah, thanks, Larry. So I have the great fortune of helping to plan and organize educational experiences at a state, national, and international level for our Wisconsin 4-Hers. So just this past weekend, you know, John talked a little bit about those arts programs that we have or projects that young people can be engaged in. And we had our annual arts camp at Upham Woods, where over 170 youth and adults came together to explore the arts.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
Great setting, too.
Yeah. Yeah, it was awesome. And so along with those arts experiences, I'm also involved each summer here on the Madison campus, actually right across the street at Celery Hall. We bring in over 400 young people to our state youth conference to kind of have that on-campus experience, start to think about college and the opportunities that are available there for them as they develop their leadership and life skills. And then we look nationally at opportunities out in D.C. We call it Citizenship Washington Focus or National Conference. Just other opportunities for our young people to continue to grow and learn and develop the skills to be successful in the future.
And we have 4-H clubs. Now, these are local clubs that exist, I think, in every county or almost every county.
Yes, yes.
John?
So we have over 900 4-H clubs throughout Wisconsin. And those clubs basically are a gathering of young people with adult volunteers and their family members, and they meet typically on a monthly basis, and they plan out educational programs and activities, conduct a business meeting, and also basically create a sense of belonging and space for young people. I always say to new families, when you go to a 4-H club for the first time, you might be shocked that when you walk in the door, the people running the meeting are the young people themselves. Yeah. So we believe that young people are leaders today. We're not training them for the future. We're training them for those leadership opportunities today.
Yeah, I think back in my own experiences as a 4-H club member, you know, we designed exhibits, we designed booths, we designed floats. I was president of the 4-H club for a while, so I, you know, got a lot of early training and leading meetings and so forth. So a lot of really good training.
Yeah, life skills, public speaking, organizational skills. The other thing, typically in 4-H, we like to focus on the products, the woodworking project or the steer that we bring to the fair. But one of the other things we always want people to think about is the process by which young people learn those skills and then can apply those skills to new situations. So, it's an excellent program.
let's take some calls. Judy and Ripon's been waiting a bit, so let's go to her. Hi, Judy. Thanks for calling.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I am thrilled that you're having this topic because I was in 4-H for many years as a child and a young adult. And in 4-H, I learned to sew and I learned to knit. And it influenced my life so that now I not only teach myself, teach students, but I have a quilting and yarn business, actually, in Wisconsin. And so I have to say that we worked very, very hard to learn the proper and correct way to do things when you entered a sewing project. And it actually took me many, many years to get a blue ribbon on it, on something that I would enter into the fair because of how particular those judges were. And it really served me well.
Aww.
And I'd also like to say that as a leader, when the student gets a blue ribbon or gets one of my students got outstanding achievement at the Green Lake County Fair this year on a pair of pajamas that she made, and you just are through the roof and over the moon excited. You're just so happy for those students, just as much as the students are.
Yeah. So, great comments there. Amber, do you want to...
Yeah, I just think, you know, what I'm hearing, and thank you, Judy, for volunteering with our program and also for just sharing that rich story. I think that's a really important part of 4-H youth development is that we have a lot of volunteers, actually over 10,000 volunteers in the state of Wisconsin, helping our young people to grow and develop those life skills that Judy was talking about. So kudos to Judy, and I just want to give a shout out to all of the volunteers because it really is what allows us to do what we do here in the state of Wisconsin, because we actually have over 30,000 4-H members. And so with only one staff in each county, we wouldn't be able to reach those young people. But having volunteers like Judy and others really allows us to teach and guide young people.
And Larry, just quickly, Judy also mentioned our unique relationship or partnership with the county fairs. So I guess another shout out to our partners with the county fairs. They provide this great opportunity for our members to reflect on the work they do. So Judy mentioned the sewing project. So for those who don't know, typically 4-H members pick projects, much like I almost call it like a college for kids. They get to go through a catalog and pick different projects they'd like to focus on. And the really great thing is they work on their project, and then one of the places they have to reflect on their work is the local county fair.
Yeah.
And they sit down and they get feedback on their work. And then if they didn't get that blue ribbon, they can take what they've learned from that experience and come back the next year and try again. So thanks, Judy, for the call. And glad to hear it not only worked out for you as a young person, but it kind of led into a career as well.
Yeah. Thanks, Judy. Appreciate it very much. Well, let's go to Jeff in Madison next. Jeff, hi. Thanks for calling.
Hi there. Anytime I can rave about 4-H, I'm there. I've been an adult leader now for 27 years. I have to really emphasize to people who are listening that, first of all, you don't have to have a kid who's in 4-H to be a 4-H leader. And I realize that most people think of 4-H as being rural or being somehow agriculture or at least domestic, and that's not really the case. I mean, the largest project in the entire state is the photography project. There are clubs out there that have rock climbing projects. They've got astronomy projects. I know of a boat building project, a cross-country ski project, entomology, botany, and all you really have to do is find some adult out there who's interested in providing information and structure for the kids, and you can start your own project. It's amazing. And right, I mean, just today we had the talk about Boy Scouts and bringing in girls. Well, 4-H has always been mixed gender, and we don't have the qua military of wearing uniforms or walking in straight lines. It is very much a gender neutral and very equalitary. There is a word. I won't use that one again. You mentioned how the kids run the meetings. I can't tell you how important that is. You have every kid from 8 years old to 18 years old in these clubs, and everybody has to get up and speak. Now, when our daughter was in 4-H, she and friends went to the state senate and spoke at the state senate, and they spoke as comfortably as any of the senators because they were used to getting up and speaking. The life lessons you learn in 4-H are the most astounding things. Can you tell I can't say enough about it?
So what do you really think about 4-H, Jeff? I can't tell. Oh, no. Thanks so much for calling. Let's get John, you want to make a comment?
Yeah. First, Jeff, thanks so much for the testimonial. I hear the passion in your voice. And as we talk with other volunteers, you made several good points there about just adults who want to share their time, their talents, their passions with young people, that 4-H, we can find a place for you to do that. The other thing that Jeff mentioned, and I think this goes to our unique partnership, 4-H is a partnership program between the United States Department of Agriculture, UW Extension, and local county government. And so what that does is, although we have support coming from both USDA and from the university and their research base and their resources, we also have this really great opportunity to create local programming. So the 4-H programs or the 4-H youth development programs that are offered in Rock County may look way different than the 4-H programs offered in Bayfield County. And so that's where Jeff's point about local volunteers bringing their passions and their interests to the table, that really helps form what local 4-H programming really looks like.
Yeah, it's interesting. I was thinking back to a leathercraft project that we had when I was in 4-H, and I took part in that, and we had that because we had a leader, a guy who was pretty good at leather and making belts and moccasins and things like that, and he just volunteered to do it and checked to see if there was interest, and there was quite a bit of interest, and so there's a new project suddenly. It
Absolutely.
Was great.
Yeah, and I just want to build on that, Larry. When I worked in Sheboygan County, I can remember back as plain as day a young man coming in and wanting to share blacksmithing, right? And we talk about what's new in 4-H. That's kind of interesting, but he came in, he was an artisan blacksmith and wanted to share that with young people. And now hundreds of 4-Hers have had the opportunity to learn about forging and blacksmithing. In Sheboygan County, they have a weekend hammer-in every year. Just incredible. And once again, based on a volunteer that had passion and vision to share that with young people.
Oh, Amber Reberg and John DeMont Molin, our guests today, as we talk about 4-H in Wisconsin. You can join in as well with your questions, comments, or experiences. I hope you will. Number to call, 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at ideas@wpr.org. So I forgot to mention that earlier. Shoot us an email at ideas@wpr.org or post on our Facebook page. We'd love to hear from you. I'm Larry Mueller, Jill Nadeau, our producer, here on the Ideas Network. Coming up at 11:45 today, we talk to the author of a book that looks at how ordinary people faced medical challenges and didn't give up. So I hope you can stay with us for that. Right now, taking a look at 4-H in Wisconsin with John DeMont Molin, Interim Co-Director for Wisconsin 4-H Youth Development, and Amber Reberg, Educational Program Specialist, Wisconsin 4-H Youth Development. Great to have them along. Again, join in with your own experiences or questions at 1-800 642-1234. Email us at ideas@wpr.org or post up on our Facebook page. Let's go to Jill in Marshfield next. Jill, hi. Thank you for calling.
Hi. I hope I don't lose you. There are six kids in our family, and we could not afford to join Girl Scouts or Boy Scouts, and we joined 4-H. In fact, my mother was a leader in 4-H and a leader in library, and my older brothers and sisters ended up being presidents of the club, and we learned drama, and we learned ag, and we learned bugs, and we learned all kinds of things, and all of it influenced what our different careers were. Four of us have got teaching degrees. My little brother went on to become a leader and start a Boy Scout organization because he wanted his son to have that.
Oh, we just lost her. Jill, I'm sorry we lost you, but I appreciate your call. John, just a comment?
Yeah, you know, when looking at the cost of joining 4-H, most families, when I've talked with them, when they look at it, it typically costs somewhere between, zero and about $20 per year to join a 4-H club, depending on the local programming and dues. And one of the reasons why that cost of entry is so low is that unique partnership that I just mentioned, Larry, where the United States Department of Agriculture and the University of Wisconsin Extension and the local county partner provide us not only physical space, but also financial resources to help offset some of these costs. So it is a very accessible and affordable opportunity for young people. And once again, expanding access to our programming and providing these opportunities for youth, that's really one of our number one priorities. So, Jill, thanks so much for the call and making the point. And once again, other organizations like Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts, Boys and Girls Club, they also provide really great opportunities for young people. So I just want to make sure that we're all in this together, helping providing these wonderful opportunities for young people to grow, learn, and develop.
Yeah, good points. Margie in Eagle River, it's your turn. Margie, hi. Thank you for calling.
Yes, I am just so thrilled that you guys have a piece on 4-H because of how wonderful this is for our community and just for all kids of, the ages. So it's such a great thing for you guys to kind of be encouraging this because 4-H can really be accessible to anyone as long as you have a grown-up. So I love that someone commented about that earlier.
And you, I know you've had some thoughts about why it's great in northern Wisconsin.
Absolutely. So in a world where everyone is so busy and being pulled in lots of different directions, our 4-H club has maintained that we're just very flexible. Because in the summertime, we lose kids to soccer, or in the winter, we lose kids to hockey and ice skating. So if we say that we're very strict and we're firm, we compete with all those, and sometimes 4-H loses. So up in the Northwoods, as long as we stay flexible, we have an influx of kids and different kids all throughout the year.
Yeah, interesting. You want to comment on that, Amber?
Yeah, so actually, Larry, before I came to Madison, as the educational program specialist, I was up in Price County, which is up in the North Woods, a pretty small rural county, and I would echo what Margie says. I mean, there are lots of great opportunities in the North, and we're missing some of the things that and resources that are sometimes in some of our more urban areas. So I think the opportunity to be flexible and still be able to provide quality educational experiences and opportunities for our young people who are further from some of those resources is really important, which is really the whole, the very basis of our program was to make sure that the university resources and research was getting out to the people no matter where they were in the state. So, I think that it's exciting to see that it's working in small rural counties like Vilas and Price County and will continue in the future.
Margie, thanks so much for calling. Appreciate your call. And so I expect in Vilas County they get an influx of kids maybe in the summer. And those kids may have a chance to participate. Maybe they're from a 4-H club in their own state or maybe not, but they still have a chance to participate.
Absolutely, Larry. So one of the things that we'd like people to know is that a lot of times when people hear 4-H, they automatically go to the 4-H Club, which quite honestly is our largest program. But we have so many other opportunities for young people to take advantage of. And some of those could be our 4-H summer camps or our 4-H day camps, our 4-H after school programs, where we bring these university resources and hands-on learning right in with our school partners or other community partners. The other programs that we also offer that people may or may not know are tied uniquely to 4-H are things like Teen Court. Many of our educators and staff work with the local Teen Court programs in counties. Youth in governance, helping young people get involved in county government or with city councils. We're involved in those types of programs. And things like Teens as Teachers, we actually work with some school districts and help train their teenage staff, or their teenage students, I should say, to go work with elementary school students. And once again, through all these programs, it comes back to the simple purpose of building these leadership, life skills, and citizenship skills with our participants.
Yeah. Margie, thanks.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Yeah, appreciate the call. You can join in too, 1-800-642-1234. Email us at ideas@wpr.org. Terry emailed to say that his kids were in 4-H and Boy Scouts, and as you were talking about earlier, John, they both help prepare them for a great life. I'm wondering about challenges for the program, for 4-H. What are the challenges that you're seeing right now?
Yeah, so one of the big challenges, Larry, and we just touched on it a little bit, is letting people know about all the different opportunities and how to get access to those opportunities. Families are so busy these days, and there are so many options out there, and we just want people to know what options we can provide. So we are increasing our efforts. We're part of a national campaign, a Grow 4-H campaign, to get more members involved in our program. And so one of the things that we're working with our local staff on is helping get that message out. And so a lot of times what's really kind of funny is people will ask me, well, how do you learn more about 4-H, or how do I get involved? And sometimes it's a little tricky because, of course, we do have phone numbers and a website with the Wisconsin 4-H program. But quite honestly, most people join their local 4-H program.
Sure.
So my little tip for everybody is if you want to learn more about what's offered in your area, you can go to a search engine and type in your county. So if you're in Columbia County, type in Columbia County 4-H or Columbia County UW Extension or UW Cooperative Extension, and you'll get to the County Extension Office website, and there you'll be able to see a whole host of local opportunities that you can get involved with. But going back to challenges, I would say that's probably our largest challenge is expanding our access and our opportunities to a much broader audience.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we have a really rich history. We talked about that agriculture background and that rural reach that we've had. And so kind of as we become less agrarian, really helping to reach young people across the state, whether they're in the city of Milwaukee or in the far reaches of Douglas County, we just want to make sure that we are reaching all young people with those resources that we talked about. And so I think that is a challenge. Anytime you have a really rich history and strong tradition, reaching out and bringing new people in who may not have ever been involved just presents itself with some challenges for current members, for staff, and for those that we're hoping to reach. So definitely something we're focusing on.
What are your relationships, or what relationships do you have with schools, grade schools and so forth? Are there ties there?
Once again, like, great question. And that goes, once again, county by county, depending on the county you're working with. For example, when I used to be the 4-H Youth Development Educator in Kenosha County, we had a really strong relationship with Kenosha Unified School District and actually started a program called After School Ambassadors. And this was a 4-H Youth Development program where we recruited and trained high school students to go into after school programs for elementary school students and tutor and mentor those students so that they could do better in school. So once again, the connection to schools will really depend on the local situation. And we have plenty of examples of our staff going in and doing bullying prevention programs in schools, or going in and providing additional resources for different types of curriculum. So it really does vary county by county.
Let's go to Susan next in Oconomowoc. Susan, hi. Thank you for calling.
Hi. I just wanted to say I'm 65. I was in 4-H as, you know, a child and learned a lot. And the big thing was that I appreciated for me, and then my children were in 4-H, is the different ages are all working together. So many things are divided up by, you know, third graders are together and 12th graders are together. And this was one place where older kids help younger kids, and it was fabulous. And I was chairman, the board of, I was a board chairman, and I was the only person on the board that knew Robert's Rules of Order, and I knew him from 4-H. I've got one other quick story that was just hysterical. One of the young ladies in my children's club was the president, and she was doing chickens, and she got a blue ribbon for her rooster, but it was a hot time, so the rooster died at the fair. She took the rooster home, plucked it, cooked it, brought it back, and she got another blue ribbon for best dressed chicken.
Wow.
There's that do reflect apply right there, the
exactly.
Full circle.
Oh, Susan, thanks a lot for calling. This is a great story. I know there are thousands of stories out there that people remember and probably aren't. Some may be willing to share and some may not. Susan, thanks again. You're breaking up a little bit, so we're going to move on to Maddie and De Pere next. Maddie, hi, thank you for calling.
They sort of indicated they'd like to somehow get the word out to more people to spread 4-H. Is there some way that people can donate to that effort to do that?
Maddie, thank you so much for that question. I would say, so like I mentioned before, many of our counties have a local county extension office with ways that we can take in donations locally through the County Leaders Association, or some counties have their own foundation. But probably the easiest way to, if you'd like to make a donation to the Wisconsin 4-H Youth Development Program, is to go on the internet and type in Wisconsin 4-H Foundation. The 4-H program here in Wisconsin, we have our own 4-H Foundation. And one of their big missions in that foundation is to help spread the word and expand the number of opportunities for our young people here in the great state of Wisconsin.
All right. Thanks again for that call. And again, you can join in at 800-642-1234. Love to hear from you. You know, we should go back maybe to some of the basics of membership. There aren't a lot of rules about who can join, but there's some age limits and things like that that are worth talking about.
Yeah, so that's a great point, Larry. Our 4-H programs are open for young people, kindergarten through 1 year after 4-H. Or 1 year after, sorry, 1 year after high school. And then, of course, we're always looking for volunteers. So once they graduate from the 4-H program, there's an opportunity. But it really is a family program and opportunities for the entire family to come together and just grow through the programs. So membership, like you said, I mean, it's open to all young people throughout the state of Wisconsin. And that age requirement is, and that's developmental, right? As we
sure.
learn about parliamentary procedure. Two-year-olds aren't as interested in that, but we, you know, definitely a program for school-aged young people out of school time.
Correct. And for our kindergarten, first, and second grade members, they actually join 4-H as a member, but their project is Clover Buds. And we use that to help get them ready for the rest of their 4-H career by offering developmentally appropriate educational programming. And one of the big differences...
What's an example of the Clover Bud? I don't know that one. I was that's before, or that's after my time, I should
sure.
say.
Sure, Larry. So a couple of things. Number one, the Clover Bud program takes basically a sampling of our projects and gives young people this hands-on opportunity to learn not only about the project, but like I said before, about the process, about themselves, and they can grow and adapt. A couple of the big distinguishing factors, I think, between our K-1 and 2 grade members and then our third and beyond is, number one, competition. So we've mentioned a lot of people talking about blue ribbons and things. We don't introduce competition in the 4-H program till third grade. And once again, especially for those younger members, we want them to be in this inclusive, welcoming, and warm environment. Another thing is there are just some things that are developmentally not appropriate for the size of a first grader. And I just want to paint everybody a picture. A 1,200-pound steer.
Yeah.
A young person who weighs 50 pounds. So that's another part of our role, too, is not only what is emotionally safe, but physically safe as well.
Yeah. Let's go to Dorothy in Muskego next. Hi, Dorothy. Thank you for calling.
Thank you. Well, I have been a 4-H member my entire life. I am now over 66 years old, and in my 66 years, there have only been 3 years in my life that I have not been involved in 4-H. My father started a 4-H club in Muskego back before I was born, and it has affected every part of my life. I had a very successful career, and my public speaking really went back to 4-H. It was wonderful. But what we were known for for our club, it was the Muckey 4-H Club, and what we were known for 20 years, we owned our own Greyhound bus. We were the only club in the country that had that, and we would take groups of young people all over the country. We did a lot of backpacking. And so there are 20 years of kids that went backpacking all over the West. We even did the Appalachian Trail. We did all kinds of things. We took people to the Canadian Rockies on a normal amount of time. And we went to Alaska. And many times for those 10-day, when we took a 10-day trip, they would cost under $100. And that included everything. And it was amazing. And so many people profited from that, and it was a good way for people to know about our beautiful country. So that's all I wanted to really say, except that 4-H is a fabulous program.
Well, you could probably have a great story to tell there, Dorothy, about how you got a Greyhound bus. That is pretty cool. I'm telling you.
Yeah, that is incredible, Dorothy, and thank you so much for sharing. I think about my role here as the educational program specialist, and I am really fortunate, Larry, to get to do something similar to what Dorothy's talking about, but we do it at a state level. We have young people traveling in coach buses. We don't own them anymore, but we do work with several companies to provide those kind of experiences. So we take a couple groups of young people on a experience called American Spirit East, where they head to New York and Boston and Philadelphia to explore citizenship, our past leaders, and then every other year or so, we've started an American Spirit West to head out west to some of our national parks and explore and develop leadership skills there, along with lots of community local programs doing community service trips, and so just a lot of great things for young people, similar to what happened in Dorothy, the Muckey 4-H Club. So that's awesome. The tradition continues.
Randy from Sheboygan, and by the way, Dorothy, thanks again. Randy from Sheboygan wonders, what is the greatest need facing 4-H? Is it funding? Is it volunteers? What are the greatest needs?
I would say funding is always a need. Obviously, the more resources you have, the more you can do. Volunteers is also always a need because volunteers expand our capacity and our reach to serve more young people. I also think, as Amber has pointed out before, there is, with our agricultural roots, there is this assumption by some that 4-H is not for them. So I think another big challenge or opportunity for us is to let people know of all the great things that 4-H can provide to young people. And it's not just young people either. It's and we've heard from adults today too. It's the volunteers, it's the parents, it's the community. There are so many benefits to the 4-H program. And so I think those things, funding, of course, volunteers, but the ultimate goal is just expanding these opportunities for more young people.
I was thinking about some of the projects. I enjoy going to, for example, the Dane County Fair. We'll go to the Dane County Fair and we'll go in the exhibit room. And I always enjoy looking at the photography exhibits. Those kids do a marvelous, a remarkable job.
Yeah. In lots of different projects. Yeah. I mean, photography, amazing. But you look at some of that woodworking or some of the sewing, just really high quality opportunities to share their skills.
Yeah. And we've heard from some of the callers today that these projects or these skills they learned could lead in many different directions, including a potential future career opportunity. So that's one of the other things that I don't think we talk about enough is the career paths from young people participating in the program. They get to try on different things, and it may lead to a certain career for them.
Yeah, well, this has been a lot of fun. For people to learn more again about 4-H and how to maybe get involved or how to find a club in their area, so forth, where do we go?
So I'd say the easiest thing, once again, we're part of UW Extension, Cooperative Extension, so all of our county programs have websites, but I always say the easiest way to find us is go to a search engine and Google either the county name, like Green Lake County, mm-hmm. UW Extension, or Green Lake County 4-H, and that'll take you to our website. On the website, you'll find contact information and program information and all the different information that you would need to get involved. Or just find out more.
Well, it's a great pleasure to have a chance to talk with you both today. Thank you so much for being with us today. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Larry. And on behalf of Wisconsin 4-H Youth Development, we'd just like to say thank you and congratulations on 100 years for WPR.
John DeMont-Molin is the interim co-director of Wisconsin 4-H Youth Development. Amber Reberg is the educational program specialist for Wisconsin 4-H Youth Development. And I believe we have a link on our Facebook page as well to the UW Extension 4-H. And you can go there as well to learn a little bit more about the 4-H clubs and the 4-H activities. As John was saying, there's aside from the club, there are lots of summer programs and concerts and things that you can get involved with without actually being a member of a particular 4-H club, if I'm not mistaken, and I'm not. Coming up, we're going to switch gears with you and talk with the author of a new book. It's called The Other Side of Impossible, Ordinary People Who Face Daunting Medical Challenges and Refuse to Give Up. Some great stories in that book, and you'll learn about them next here on the Ideas Network. I'm Larry Mueller.